Welcome, episode 14, Infield Chatter, coming to you pre-taped at about 8 p.m. Mountain Time, or Pacific Time, because, you know, the whole Daylight Savings Time thing, on Sunday. Same three people as usual. I'm Charlie Cheapo, there's Devin Jessup, and there's Timothy Jeffcoat. And you couldn't see it, but I was pointing in their vague directions from my apartment bedroom.
I think you were off by about 1.5, 2 degrees when you were pointing towards Vegas.
In my defense, I did say vague.
Fair enough.
Las Vegas? V-A-G-U? No.
Yeah.
Ooh. But since we last joined you, the Diamondbacks survived some dark carnival of the soul in Philadelphia and rattled off 6 or 7 wins against the newly managed Miami Marlins, which, by the way, since we recorded early last week, we didn't get to talk about how hilarious that whole situation is. And then take 2 or 3 from the Chicago Cubs. The Chicago Cubs, who came into the season with so much confidence and so much, and with such an unwarranted arrogance that even Notre Dame football fans were like, whoa, back off, dudes.
You know, I mean, just in the Cubs' defense, one of the teams left that series over 500, and it wasn't the Diamondbacks, so.
Well, they still lost 2 of 3.
That's fair.
And they're not the lifeblood of the Cactus League, so, yeah. It's okay to never not be bitter about all that, because it's fun.
Yeah, exactly.
It's fun, even though it didn't probably actually directly affect any of us. Or at least the three people that are currently in this conversation.
Yeah, if it did directly affect you, leave us a comment, and we'll muster some false sympathy for you.
Not much, though, because that means you were living in Mesa.
But on the other hand, we will be pleased to see your comment to know that you actually would listen, so.
Yeah.
Hi, Devin's mom. Though I don't think she was in Mesa at the time, so.
She was not. No, she wasn't even in Arizona.
Hmm.
I believe she was living near a mesa, though.
Hey, that's a start. That is a start.
But not a proper noun mesa, lowercase m mesa.
Hmm. Well, yeah. Interesting.
Yes, yes. That strokes my chin a bit. But let's review the games last week, because anyway you slice it, the Diamondbacks did win 6-7 from two teams that play Major League Baseball by every literal definition. Going from the Marlins series to the Cubs series, what are some things that stood out to you that were generally good, because the week was generally good?
They won a lot, so that's good, but I'm not a huge fan of a bunch of extra inning games, and so that wasn't so fun, and Addison Reed is still problematic.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I mean, there would be your fave is problematic memes about Addison Reed, except I don't think Addison Reed is anybody's fave, so.
No. Except perhaps Addison Reed.
At this point, you have to think that even Addison Reed is downing it a little bit.
He's in the bullpen. He looks over. He sees that Chappelle is motioning for him to start getting ready. He starts booing.
he has to shut down his tablet because he's already writing letters to the editor of the Republic saying, "Why do they keep putting me, Addison Reed, in the game?"
And it was funny. He actually types me, ellipsis. Addison Reed. He doesn't bother to fix it.
It's not like he's using the voice to text thing either.
He's actually typing it out.
mainly what I noticed, you know, in our series against the Marlins and the Cubs, other than, you know, obviously teams with alliteration in their names, which is important to me. At least we're getting offensive consistency pretty much the whole time. Even in the one game we lost, we scored 6 runs. So after having quite a stretch of, I feel like there was a span of time when our offense just checked out, like, around that Dodgers-Rockies series towards the beginning of the... No, not the Rockies.
Yeah, they beat up the Rockies, but they did play a three-game series against the Dodgers and only scored four runs, and all four of those runs were in the same game.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it was nice to see that we can get some hits. It was, you know, it's always great to watch Goldschmidt smack some dingers and...
Yeah. Home runs or mascots.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But I would like to see Goldschmidt smack some dingers mascot, but the fact that dingers is plural there is really frightening.
Well, we know that they're plural because I thought, like, every Mother's Day or Father's Day or something, they have some bit about dingers' parents.
Right.
That's a horrifying concept.
Yeah.
Especially in to consider that there might have been some parental mascots who produced Dinger as a child.
Yeah.
I wonder if it was kind of... I'm envisioning it like a Rosemary's Baby scenario.
That's true.
Yeah.
I know they've done that for Baxter as well. Not Rosemary's Baby, but...
that's more like a weird, like, Chinese directed DVD knockoff of Rosemary's Baby.
Right. Parsley Children,
yeah.
Exactly.
Time. Wow. Time, spelled T-H-Y-M-E, if it's...
Just as a point of reference, I mean, obviously, I don't know what this means, but apparently you can hire Dinger to show up at your next event, I'm assuming in Denver, but parking must be supplied for the Dinger van and travel expenses may exist on visits outside of the Denver metro area. It's $300 per hour for an appearance, or a party visit is a flat fee of $250, which does include a gift for the birthday child, so.
Nice.
So,
is there any age restrictions to that?
No, I mean, it doesn't say. I guess, like, if you want to hire Dinger for, like, your 21st birthday party,
right.
Like,
go to a bar, do a bunch of shots with Dinger.
Yeah, exactly. $250, he's going to bring you a present.
Put that thing away, Dinger.
This all feels like entrapment.
I'm also just going to point out, remember, Dinger's birthday is April 16th, and the overlord of a certain Diamondbacks website does turn 50 on April 16th of next year, so...
Jim's birthday is the same as Dinger's?
Yeah, he was horrified when he found that out.
Or was he? I don't think we've ever seen them in the same place.
It's true.
Yeah, I'm not saying he is or isn't. I'm just saying he should defend himself. You know?
We gotta hear all sides here.
Yeah, gotta hear both sides. Gotta hear both sides.
Address the controversy, Jim.
But yeah, sort of getting back onto the main road of what we're talking about, yeah, I kind of agree with you that it's good to see the offense sort of offense. And we did sweep the Marlins series without Paul Goldschmidt doing a whole lot. Which, again, the Marlins are basically run by a 12-year-old playing out-of-the-park baseball. But it still counts.
Wait a minute. As a 12-year-old who has maybe not played out-of-the-park baseball but things similar, I would be appalled at that comparison.
I think you're 12 anymore.
But, I mean, like, I did play things like that when I was 12, is my point.
Oh. I thought you were saying as a 12-year-old.
No.
Check your tenses, yo. But, yeah, the team, again, this is probably going to be a very streaky, inconsistent, yada, yada, yada sort of team.
This team is not sponsored by Windex.
Ho, ho, ho.
I see what you did there, Dot JPEG.
Are you on
the, are you on the Windex payroll? You're on the take.
Look, if I was getting paid for corporate sponsorships, I would make it perfectly clear. Like the clear glass you get when you use Windex on Windows.
Whereas the Marlins are sponsored by the generic store brand you get at the Fry's or the Kroger, but specifically the one where you think people have been murdered outside at night. But, yeah, speaking of murder, but not really, it's good even for a short time that the Diamondbacks are taking it to some opponents, and one ostensibly, I won't say good because of the Cubs, but not horrible opponent, question mark?
Like I said, they do have a winning record. They are closer to a good season than the Diamondbacks are. So, I mean, it was good to see that that we could win the games. They were competitive good games for the most part.
Yeah.
I mean, especially in our wins. So that's maybe sometimes just watching the team look like they have a chance is the best we can take away from there.
It's a small glimmer of hope that you reach for it, and then it's suddenly taken away and beaten into the ground with a shovel.
Well, I mean, maybe, but on the other hand, there's also the feeling of, you know what, I know this team is going to lose a lot.
Mm-hmm.
As long as they make a good showing of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just give us a little razzle-dazzle.
Exactly.
Give them a little razzle. Ah, that's a song from the musical Chicago. It all connects together. Lizard people.
I have unintended layers.
Yeah.
Like, oh hey, I didn't mean this to be a lasagna, but I guess it is.
And I hate Mondays.
Way to stay on hashtag brand there. So, yeah, let's move on to questions that were posited through various forms of places on the internet. Okay, this one is from Nate Rowan in the Game Day thread. For the next 10 years, you are forced to keep either Addison Reed or Heath Bell as your closer. Who do you keep? Now, I have an answer to this, if I may, but that's okay. I'll go first.
For it.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. I'm going to say Heath Bell because, one, he was at some point kind of good in his career. Two, he just seems like a... I have no basis for this, but he just seems like a happier person. Like... Yeah. Like, he's like, yeah, terrible, but, you know, let's get a beer and, you know, throw things at people who do terrible show tunes like karaoke, you know. But Addison Reed just looks like someone who got really, really into, like, Breaking Benjamin in high school and never really grew out of that.
So, what you're saying is Heath Bell is a guy you'd have a beer with. And so you don't care how terrible of a job he does for 4 years. Where have I heard that before?
Ouch. That cut me deep.
I mean, I guess it is kind of one of those, you're choosing the lesser of two evils. I may have to give Addison Reed a small vote because I... just looking at his baseball reference page, have found out that his middle name is Devin.
Mm.
But it's spelled with an O, so it's not the same thing. And
so no. Devon.
Devon.
So it's Oven?
Yes, it's Oven. Yeah. It's taken from the name of the poet Ovid.
Right.
Yeah. But when the people were coming across from Europe going through Ellis Island, there were occasionally shortages of D's,
yeah.
So they changed it to an N, to Ovid.
They don't really teach the D shortage of the 19th century much at schools anymore, and that's a shame.
And yeah, it was, I mean, as the documents of the time say, it was a very ire circumstances. many people were very concerned.
Irish. Speaking of which, Irish Trace is my favorite 80s band.
Yeah, I think in between the choosing both of them, I just kind of have to go with who would be funnier watching fail for 4 years. Mm-hmm. And Addison Reed has that sort of, like, angry checkout clerk at a bookstore vibe. Mm-hmm. So that could be amusing, because he would just, like, get more and more angry, but he'd keep it, like, all inside of him as people just hated him more and more. And that would be kind of amusing. But Heath Bell, I imagine, would fail in more hilarious ways.
Yeah.
You know, where he would
So basically, like, basically, if I can put this in terms of 90s comedy duos,
yes.
Addison Reed is the David Spade, Heath Bell is...
yes. Yes.
He's... Oh, man, I just blanked on his name.
Chris Farley?
Chris Farley. Don't do drugs, kids. Or do drugs, because I haven't, and my brain is still like this, so at least you'd have something to blame it on.
Escape.
But if you're going to do drugs, use Windex? Do I still get paid for that one? I'm not sure.
That felt, like, really shoehorned. Like...
Why can't we if you know the brand of a shoehorn, I will give you a dollar.
Damn it! Wait, Google brand.
Nope, too late.
Yeah, I know it off the top of your head.
Mm. Yeah.
Why can't we keep both of them, and then it could be like a comedy road movie where they're just going around city to city blowing games while they're trying to save one of their family businesses.
It'll never work.
Then you could have both of them.
Something narrative?
Hashtag narrative?
Sure.
Hashtag. Another question from the GDT was one I'm going to use because that I submitted because I was trying to push to a type of question, if that makes sense. So, what kind of sandwich is Mark Trumbo?
Sloppy Joe.
And your reasoning?
It just pops in my head when I think of Mark Trumbo. When I saw that question in the GDT, and that was the very first thing I thought of, because I was like, he just seems like he's just kind of a mess, and does some things well, but maybe isn't the perfect sandwich, but sometimes it's satisfying.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to go with a turkey sandwich with American cheese on a bun that's hard. Like, it looks like it's a soft bun at first, mm-hmm. but it's a harder bun than you first expected, and it's kind of chewy. It probably could use a little bit more mayonnaise. You think you probably paid too much for it, mm-hmm. and you're just kind of disappointed, wishing you had a better sandwich than this. And it's not terrible. It's just not great.
It would take a great, I mean, just absolutely amazing turkey sandwich for me to feel like I hadn't overpaid for it just in about in every scenario.
I'm going to go with, I thought about this a little bit, I'm going to go with a hot dog. Now, here's why. There's a lot of semantic debate, is a hot dog a sandwich, / is Mark Trumbo a right fielder? People talk about this all the time, but they seem to forget that it's just a useless hunk of just processed meat, in both cases. Mm-hmm. And it's just good in small doses, but ultimately unsatisfying and not worth the semantics.
Also, I would just like to answer your question that was not actually asked.
What?
ESPN page 2 article reports to me that according to the American Heritage Dictionary, A sandwich is, quote, two or more slices of bread with a filling such as meat or cheese placed between them, or a partly split long or round roll containing a filling. So, yeah, a hot dog is a sandwich according to the dictionary definition.
Right. Yeah, I'm not going to disagree with that. I am going to argue about the idea that hot dogs aren't satisfying.
Fair enough.
I think it really depends on the hot dog. I mean, some hot dogs can just be like, eh.
Well, I mean, even bad hot dogs are still hot dogs, and they're pretty good.
I mean, I'm not, like, dissing the hot dog as, like, a thing, but I'm just saying, like, as far as food group goes, it's you're not talking about, like, you know, like a filet mignon or something. That was a bad example. But it's sort of like, it's good for what it is, but it's not like a transcendent sort of food, usually.
Okay, well, then maybe he's more like just like a base Oscar Mayer wiener dog.
He's
a gas station, mm-hmm. where it's just that sort of baseline of hot dogness, but it's not a really good hot dog.
Yeah. Or it's like, the hot dog, it's been warmed up in the microwave,
mm-hmm.
but it's not like grilled or anything.
Yeah, or boiled or anything. Because, yeah. I genuinely get excited when I get, like, wiener schnitzel coupons in the mail, so.
Yeah, I seem to remember you saying something about that on Twitter at one point.
Yeah, and guess what? I use a lot of them, because.
Yeah, I've never been to Wiener Schnitzel. I don't even know where one is.
I like them. There's one, like, a few miles from our apartment, but.
I mean, I remember seeing the ads that growing up. That would come out in the newspaper, and there was one in Yuma, or still is, but I just never went there. So it was always like, oh, look at all these ads for a hot dog place.
Interesting. But I will endorse Wiener Schnitzel without getting paid yet. It's fairly cost effective for, you know, getting some food, especially with the coupons. And yeah. Yeah, you know, you can get, like, just a plain old mustard dog, you can get a chili dog, you can get a chili cheese dog, you can get some fries, you can get yourself a Pepsi.
Did you just say that you would get a surprise? Because I don't want to know what a Wiener Schnitzel surprise is.
I did not say that, but that is for Infield Chatter After Dark. Which...
We don't give my mom the link to that podcast.
Which, technically, looking outside my window, it is after dark, so...
Time to go weird.
Ooh, yeah.
Gonna make it weird. I'm actually reading an article on Fox Sports that's now pretty detailed about is a hot dog a sandwich. They speak to somebody at Baseball Prospectus. They interview several players. Yeah.
The ultimate one is a hot dog a sandwich from The Guardian.
So it even jumped the pond.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it is about 2,000 words of very academic.
That sounds like a writer who was at a deadline, had nothing, and was just like, fuck it. Here I go.
And probably was just kind of, as the British would say, taking a piss.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's one of those internet things, if in case you're not tapped into that sort of weird zeitgeist of,
I feel like we are all united in declaring a hot dog a sandwich.
Yeah, I am aboard the hot dog as a sandwich.
So there you have it. More questions. This one comes from Facebook. My friend Paul, who's submitted stuff to the previous incarnation of this, the Video Roundtable before. We'll keep it on sandwich talk. What's your favorite bread for an overfilled sandwich?
Huh.
What does an overfilled sandwich mean? Just it has too much toppings?
Overfilled sandwich.
I mean, yeah, I mean, that's what sounds right to me. I mean,
pretty much, yeah.
As opposed to, like, an open-faced sandwich or something like that?
I guess, yeah.
You know, I kind of go the other way around, so it's like, I'd start with the fillings, and then I would just find bread that simply can handle it. Mm-hmm. I like bread, but there's not a lot of breads that I'm just like, oh, it has to be that bread mm-hmm. for that sandwich.
Yeah.
You know, pastrami and rye, sure, but other than that, it's like, hmm. Put good stuff on bread, I eat.
Nom, nom, nom.
I personally am not that careful with my sandwiches. I, like, take the bread and I put the toppings on, and sometimes I just realize afterwards, I'm like, well, that did not work. Usually for sandwiches like that, I do actually, I prefer, like, soft bread, like potato bread or something. Mm. Because if it's going to be a mess, I mean, it might as well already fall apart while I'm eating it.
I love potato bread just for anything, so I'm with you there.
Yeah.
You don't want to get lockjaw from eating a sandwich?
No.
Sometimes, you know, when I'm feeling weird on a Friday night, but generally, no. No. bread, I'm not too picky on. When someone asks, oh, white or wheat, I just flip a coin in my head and go with whatever that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only line that I probably draw is wet bread.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's never an appropriate option.
And the only time that works for me is with Italian beef sandwiches, because they use a chewier bread to start with, so when it gets damp, it's not mm-hmm. that disgusting mush.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ugh. Generally not a bread snob. I mean, I do get kind of bread snobbish, not really, but with, like, basically, like, French toast, that's, like, the only thing. I kind of like using good, quote-unquote, bread for that, like, sourdough or something like that, but that's just my weird...
I feel like French toast is the ultimate time to use ghetto-ass bread.
Hmm.
Really, I would strongly disagree with you on that.
Well... Embrace the bait!
I feel like French toast is one of those things that French toast kind of falls into that same category with me as pizza, whereas, like, okay, French toast is fine, mm-hmm. but if you just go a little bit above and beyond and, like, go with good choices of it, then it's amazing.
Mm-hmm. See, I feel like, first of all, because with French toast, you want the bread to be a little bit stale.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, it already feels like you're going to be using some week-old ghetto-ass store-brand bread to begin with. You know, you're not using some fancy bread for it, because you probably already ate all your fancy bread. Or you threw it away, because you didn't eat it. Because you're on one of those gluten-free diets.
Mm. See, whereas in my apartment, much more likely that I ate half the loaf of fancy bread, and then I forgot that I had it for like 3 days, and then I'm like, oh man, I can make French toast now.
I just get a baguette and just eat it whole. I don't know.
Well, ooh la la, fancy man.
But again, one of those. Just as a callback to earlier this podcast, one of those generic store brand Fry/Kroger brand baguettes where you're pretty sure someone gets murdered in the parking lot on a weekly basis.
Mm-hmm. I'm concerned about your shopping habits.
ask Emily or Steve about the specific fries I'm thinking of. It's the murder store.
The murder store.
But it's fries, and they have, you know, their Diamondback sponsors or whatever, but their prices are pretty good. You just gotta, like, never go after, like, 3 p.m.
You just have to go pack and heat.
Mm-hmm. I genuinely overheard a conversation, one side of a conversation on the phone, at the fries I'm thinking of. Where where the person on one line was telling the other person to flee the country. Like, I was just walking by, and it's like, oh, I care about you, but you better get out of the country fast. Like, wait, what? I'm just going to keep walking.
Like, it's one of those things where you're like, wait, I want to know everything about this, but I also want to know nothing about whatever they're discussing.
Like, on a personal level, like, on a personal just, you know, knowledge is power level, I want to know everything. But on a, I do not want to get called to testify in court reason.
Or draw the attention of somebody who may need to be fleeing the country.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that is definitely something you don't want to be involved in.
Let us move...
Was the person... I wonder if the person that they were talking to on the other line was Addison Reed.
Wow, that is like layers on layers on layers of... It's like comically big lasagna.
I think we're pretty close to busting this thing wide open.
We need to get a pinboard, is that what it's called? Yeah. And, like, a bunch of pictures of string and just link them all together.
I'm with you in spirit, but, I just kind of have a general understanding with my wife that I should avoid anything that makes it look like I need to be locked away in an asylum. I mean, she's an X-Files fan, but she doesn't want to go that far with it.
Fine, I'll do it. Geesh.
That's good. I mean, you're the one who's closest to the border if you need to flee the country because you know too much.
Right.
This is true. But what if the Federales are also in on it?
Then you just...
You're screwed.
Because... Yeah, yeah. I could just go north because there's no way in hell the Mounties are.
Can't both be in on it.
Yeah, exactly. Let us shift to, in our sort of final-ish segment, let us shift to the Diamondbacks games next week. First off, on the 25th, 26th, and 27th of May, which is this month, for only a few more days, we get to be in St. Louis, for three games against the Cardinals, who are, I'm pretty sure, without looking it up, the best team record-wise in the National League right now.
I believe that is correct.
Mm-hmm. So, do you have any thoughts about how this series could go? Any way that, like, Diamondbacks fans could become just as classy as Cardinals fans, you know, supposedly are, anything, et cetera, et cetera?
Well, maybe we'll get lucky and one of our pitchers will try to kick someone in the head.
I think that's the least we can hope for.
Yeah.
That's a minimum baseline, because, I mean, Matt Holliday's stupid head still on the Cardinals, and
yeah,
it is a really big head.
No, it'd be hard to miss. yet, but I wouldn't say I'd exactly miss it, Bob.
Oh, wordplay. But I was going to say, Addison Reed probably could miss it.
I don't think, you know. No, he'd just pretend it's a bat, and he wouldn't miss that.
If Matt Holliday's head was home plate, Matt Holliday would miss it.
Ooh, callback.
Old school.
Yeah, in hindsight, it's really kind of crappy that the Rockies won that game.
Yeah, it is.
Because that Padres team was not very good.
No. Well, neither really was that Rockies team.
Nor that Diamondbacks team.
Yeah, none of them were really that good.
But if we're grading on a curve here...
Yeah.
Well, like, you know, it's a below 100 level community college class. Damn it, that retroactively makes me angry, that whole 2007 playoffs.
Take a breath. Just relax.
I told you guys probably at some point that I was actually in Denver for game three of that series happened.
Yeah.
And I was in a Bennigan's, and, like, I was just, like, sort of watching over at the bar, and then everyone was happy, and I was just trying to, like, not show emotion so I wouldn't draw attention to myself.
Well, I mean, and let's be fair, that really hasn't gone too great for Bennigan's either.
Bennigan's, suppress your feelings.
Bennigan's, what, is TGI Fridays too busy?
bet against. We're right next to the airport.
I don't understand why we don't have more corporate sponsorship.
Call us.
You can't see it, but I'm making the universal hand gesture for call us right now. And, and it really fits in this situation. But back to the Cardinals. This will be an interesting barometer of how the team is doing. You know, is it just like, oh, are you beating up on a bunch of crappy teams and you're just slightly better than them? Or, you know. But we get to miss Michael Wacha this series, so that's nice, I guess, maybe. But, yeah, if we can take one, if we don't get swept, I'll be satisfied for the most part. For the most part. Because after an off day Thursday, wow, off day Thursday, lucky you. There are three games against the Milwaukee Brewers, who, like the Marlins previously, fired their manager because of a slow start. But their current manager, this is kind of awkward, is Senor Craig Counsell, who didn't have any managerial experience, but I don't know, was a hot commodity because, as I recall, he also interviewed for the Rays job in the offseason. Yeah. But, yeah, Ron Renneke was just sort of the victim of, this team is kind of getting injured a lot and playing below where they should, so bye-bye, that's your fault.
Yeah, pretty much. I feel like, Craig Counsell is one of those guys who I'm always going to be a fan of, but I feel like if he was a character in a movie, mm-hmm. Craig Counsell would be played by Sean Astin.
Yeah. I can say that, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Sean Astin played Rudy, and I think Craig Counsell did go to Notre Dame.
Quite possibly.
I didn't make that up.
Sean Astin's body type, though, is a little bit too...
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, not like body type, obviously, but I mean, just like personality-wise.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
He was a pretty terrible baseball movie already, though.
Which one was that?
Oh, great, now I gotta look it up.
Sorry, I don't know.
I'm trying to repress this memory.
I don't know his IMDb page, backwards and forwards.
Craig Counsell did go to Notre Dame and actually was born in South Bend, so.
Uh-huh.
And according to someone I talked to, I think he did. He went to high school in Milwaukee, so, I mean, I guess it all makes sense, but. And he was once traded, not partially for Richie Sexson, so. He basically spent the last part of his career in joint custody between Phoenix and Milwaukee.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. But I guess we know who he loves more.
Don't cry out loud. But yeah, the Brewers are just a tire fire of injuries. And
how long is it going to take before they run out Hank the Dog as one of their position players?
Well, they apparently don't have much catching depth because I think Lucroy's injured and the rest of their catchers are, what's the word I'm thinking of? Shit. Yeah, Martin Maldonado hitting 168, 234, 228. And their backup, Juan Centeno, probably not pronouncing that right, 067, 176, 133.
Wow.
But yeah, seriously, their injuries, Scooter Jeanette, their starting second baseman, injured right now, Gene Segura on the DL, Jonathan Lucroy, Logan Schaefer, Rob Wooten, something called Tyler Thornburg, but they're just a team whose window's probably closing, and I feel so sorry for them, speaking of Diamondback playoff failures.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
So bad. Oh, well.
Womp, womp. But that's a series definitely feels like you should take 2-3 from, with, you know, the barometer being set from, hey, you swept the Marlins. So, transitive property-wise, which never fails in sports as a way of evaluating teams.
No, it's always completely valid.
Yep.
You beat the Miami Marlins. Now here's the Milwaukee Marlins.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I forgot Gerardo Parra plays for them.
Apparently, yeah.
He was a guy.
Yeah, remember him. Hey. But, yeah, so just to recap, Cardinals, yeah, could be nice to do good against the Brewers. You have to do good against them or I will disown you forever. You're not my real son, Diamondbacks.
Yeah, if we, it's basically, yeah, if we don't get swept in St. Louis, I will be happy. If we, I mean, I'm setting the sights high here, but if we don't sweep in Milwaukee, I will be at least slightly disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, that seems reasonable.
Yeah, keep expectations like that. Just have a, just no vague middle ground. Just either a high point or a very barely passing minimum point.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't see how the Diamondbacks could ever possibly disappoint me, so.
Not ever. Outro blabber. Outro, 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 outro blabber. Haha, plug for a thing. Follow on Twitter. Outro, outro, outro. Wow, the word outro sounds weird when you say it so many times. Outro! Haha, a stinger, usually from a point before we started talking official podcasty. Not this week, though, because I started recording right before we started. Sorry, no analingus this week. I know you're disappointed.